Hello and welcome to Grace Life Sir Lowry's Pass. We are a gospel-centered church family focused on reaching the unreached and making disciples. We pray this teaching will help you to grow in your relationship with Jesus and discover more of the reality of Christianity.
I want to get into the Word, and we are on Romans 8. To help me with my notes as well. Just want to do a quick recap of what JB talked about last week. I think last week was so significant and so awesome that the word was given to us very plain and very simple, but it opened up so much for us in our understanding. JB said that a good teaching is a valuable teaching. Okay, so good teaching is valuable. And we don't have relationship with God through the law. There is peace between us and God. We can live out our purpose unhindered. It means when there's peace, you don't have any hindrance to live for God. And that is the purpose why Christ came. Not only to save us from our sinful ways or our sinful thoughts or whatever, but to allow us and help us to live a purposeful, unhindered, purposeful life. Okay? Sin gets stronger the more we struggle under the law. That means the more we try to do things out of our own strength and follow the law. And we also learned that there's not only 10 commandments, but there is 690 something commandments that you have to follow. Not only 10. So if you thought there was only 10, there's more. Like we always say that the law always provides, gives you your symptoms. They tell you what's wrong with you, but they never provide any remedy. There's no antidote for the sickness that you have when you try to fight under the law. We learned that the sin of Adam affected the whole world, our whole being. That's why when we are born into a sinful world. And the only way we are freed from sin is when we receive Jesus, but it doesn't stop there. Okay, obviously we have a responsibility to renew our minds, to listen to what God says about us and not what we think of ourselves and not what the world says or even not what the Ten Commandments says about us, because the Ten Commandments is such so heavy. It is a lot of you shall not, and what Jesus came, he says that you shall. You are free to live. You are free to have relationship. You are free to love God as well. Then JB also said Galatians 2:18 and 21, where he spoke about the things that we tend to build up that we have broken down before. He says that then when you build up anything that you've broken down, then you become a law unto yourself. So whatever you try to build up, if you receive Jesus without anything that you had to do, and now you are trying to earn more and more of God's love, then that is you or us trying to build up what has been broken down. Okay? And then he said, we live trusting in the Son of God. We live by trusting Jesus. So other word for faith is actually trust. Okay, so when we say that we have faith, that means that we have trust. But that trust is not in ourselves, it is in what Jesus has done. That's why it is important that when we live our lives, we should live our lives through the lens of grace and through the lens of Christ, and not through our own lens, through what we see. Okay, and then what stood out for me last week was that Jesus earned the blessing of the law, and he took its punishment. He earned the full blessing of the law, meaning that he could, he was the only perfect man that could fulfill the whole law within his human nature. And then he was the only perfect man that could die for the law as well. And which is so awesome. He earned the blessing, meaning he was blessed. We spoke about Deuteronomy 28, where it says that blessed are we when we follow all the laws And cursed are we when we don't follow it. So obviously there is blessings and curses when we are live our lives under the law. And we know that none of us, not even one sitting here, standing here, is able to fulfill the whole law out of himself. I just want to continue. JB obviously did Romans 8 to verse 5. I want to start at verse 6. Okay, so, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to read it for us in the Passion Translation. Sure. Okay, so, I'm not going to stay quiet just for the sake of the recording, so yeah. So we read in Romans 8 verse 6 in the Passion, it says that for the sense and the reason of the flesh is death, but the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. And it says in verse 7, in fact the mindset focused on the flesh fights God's plan and refuses to submit to his direction because it cannot. For no matter how hard, then it says, no matter how hard it tries, it cannot fulfill the law. It cannot please God when we try to live through the law. God finds no pleasure with those who are controlled by the flesh. But when the Spirit of Christ empowers your life, you are not dominated by the flesh, but by the Spirit. If you live, and if you are not joined to the Spirit of the Anointed One, you are not of Him. Now Christ lives His life in you, and even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, His life-giving Spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. Amen. That is so important. Wow. Yes, God raised Jesus to life. And since God's Spirit of resurrection lives in you, He will also raise your dying body to life by the same Spirit that breathes life into you. So then, beloved ones, the flesh has no claims on us at all, and we have no further obligation to live in obedience to it. For when you live controlled by the flesh, you are about to die. But if the life of the Spirit puts to death the corruption, the corrupt ways of the flesh, we then taste His abundant life. The mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. And you do not receive the spirit of religious duty, leading you back into fear of never being good enough. But you have received the spirit of fullness, the Spirit full of acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God, and you will never feel orphaned. For as He rises up within us, our spirit join Him in saying the words of tender affection, beloved Father. In verse 16 it says, For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as He whispers into our innermost being, you are God's beloved child.
Amen.
That is so, so awesome just to hear that the Holy Spirit always confesses with God's Spirit that we are accepted. The Holy Spirit will never ever reject you. He will always tell you about who you are and about your new nature in Christ. Romans 8 verse 6, the flesh can never please God or bring forth the fruit that God desires. The flesh will continuously try to dominate through our senses and emotions. That basically means that when we are in the flesh, it is always our emotions and our fleshly nature, so our emotions drives us. Okay, so we are man, but we have three parts to us. We are a spirit, we possess a soul, and we live we are a spirit that lives in the body that possesses the soul. Okay? So the soul and the spirit, they always fight against one another. There's a constant battle for who is in control. Okay? So when we adhere to the flesh, then we will follow the desires of it. When we adhere to the spirit, then we will follow the will of God for our life. Okay? Galatians 5 verse 17 says, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the spirit wants. And the spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. Those two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. I love it when he says that you are not free to carry out your good intentions. So whether we live in the spirit and whether we live in the flesh, you are not free. You are not free, but you are bound to the one that you follow. Okay? As a title for my message, if I should title it, it should be that the title that I'm received here is that your focus determines your fruitfulness. Okay? Your focus determines your fruitfulness. So we are not free. So when we come to Jesus, yes, we are free from sin, but we have become one with Christ. So God wants us to follow His desire for His will for our life. But we obviously have a choice in that. So whether we want to choose, that's why it is important that where we set our focus, our fruitfulness will come from that point. So when we decide to live our lives and in the flesh, carnally trying to achieve what God has already given to us, that we will get fruitfulness from that place. But when we focus on the Spirit, our lives will be fruitful in such a way that we will have everlasting life that we have on the inside of us already. That will just come to the fore more. Because the Spirit brings more fruitfulness. Okay? No one can be fruitful in himself. So we need the Holy Spirit so that we can bear the fruit of the Spirit. So that when people come to us, they see the fruit. And once they see the fruit, then they are drawn to us. And then, because they are drawn to us, they can draw from us. Okay? So it then says that we are not free to carry out our good intentions. So when we live in the flesh, we can also have good intentions. We can also do a lot of good. But that good that we are doing, it has no bearing on what Christ has already done. That good will only show people outwardly that we are good. That we are doing something in the community. We are making soup for the church. We are cleaning the church. We are coming to church on Sundays. We are doing this and we are doing that. We always greet people and we always smile. Those good intentions. But good intentions does not free us from the flesh. Yeah. We can have all the good intentions in the world, but we can still be under the law. Okay, so good intentions does not nullify the law. It does not nullify the flesh. The fleshly desires will be there, even with the good intentions. Okay? It is only in the Spirit that when we are able to receive of God's goodness, then through that we are able to do good. Okay? So good intentions doesn't necessarily save you.
Yeah.
So you can come to go to church every Sunday of the year, and you can sit in your room and not do drugs, not drink, not smoke, or even not cuss or not do anything that the world does, and yet you can still go to hell. Okay? The highway to hell is filled with good intentions. I know it's hard to hear, but there's a lot of bad people with good intentions. Yeah. There's a lot of people that do wrong things, but they have good intentions. Jesus even says it himself. He says that you that are a bad person, you desire good things for your children. Okay? So our flesh, and even with our good deeds, the Bible says our good deeds are like filthy rags. Okay, so it's not that God doesn't see it. God sees it. But when we try to do good to earn God's favor and to earn His love, then that is just like a filthy rag.
Yes.
That means that we want the reward, because good intentions is more self-focused than anything else.
Yes.
It's more about you than it's about God. Okay? And God wants us to live in the Spirit so that it should be more about Jesus and less about us. Okay? The battle for God's will and our own way is won by our focus. What does that mean? So where your focus is, that is where your fruitfulness will be. So when we focus on the flesh, you will bear fruit in the flesh. And fruit in the flesh produces absolutely nothing. But when we focus on the Spirit, we bear fruit in the Spirit. And bearing fruit in the Spirit produces life. Okay? That is why we must take heed to ourselves to see if we are still believing the right things about the finished works of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, it says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Okay? Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? That is so awesome, because that tells you, examine yourselves, and then it also gives you the answer.
Yes.
The only way that we can know for sure whether we are in faith, it is by recognizing if Christ is in us.
Mm.
If you are a believer here today, Jesus Christ lives within you.
Amen.
But when we take heed to ourselves, because we can always draw back, and we can always go back into works. That's why the scripture says that we should examine ourselves, not and test yourself, not test yourself if you are a child of God, because you are. But test yourself, are you still believing what you have believed from the very first day that you received Jesus into your life? Are you still believing that it is Jesus that does the work? It is His finished works that allows us to do good things, and not our own fleshly works.
Yeah.
So we test ourselves to see whether we are still in the faith. In the faith is whether you are still trusting in Jesus, or still trusting in His salvation for your life, and His way, and His will for your life, rather than your own will. Okay? Because we can lose it. It is possible that we can lose it. That is why it's very important that we should listen to the right words. We should listen to the right teachings. We should listen to the truth, because it's only the truth that sets us free. Okay, so examining yourself is a good, thermometer to test your gauge, whether you are still there where you are. Are you still believing the right things? Are you still believing that Jesus died for your sins? Are you still believing in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Are you still believing that it is His finished works and not yours that saved you? Okay? Romans 7, 8 and 7, 8, 7 and 8 says, the mindset of the flesh only looks out for itself. It is focused on performance, to please, to be accepted, and to be seen. So the flesh, when we are under the law, it is always performance-based. It is always about, are you doing the right things? Are you performing well enough? Are you pleasing to God? Am I pleasing God well enough? Do I come to church enough so that I can earn a spot in heaven? It is always seeking to be accepted, always seeking to be counted. Okay? There can be a million people in this room, then the one that's in the flesh will always raise his hand to tell, I am here, count me in, I am here. You will always seek out the attention that you already have. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14 says, but People who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. When we try to live our lives in the flesh or from the law, we will never understand what God wants for us. We will never understand what God wants, what God's will is for our lives, because God's will is spiritual. It is not a carnal thing. Our lives that we have, it is a spiritual life. We may look the same on the outside, but inside we are renewed. You are a new creation. You are a new person. You are no longer the old person. That's why our focus always needs to be on the Spirit. Our focus always needs to be in the leading of the Holy Spirit and not on what we see. Because here's the thing, that sometimes when you are so carnally minded, and when you read the Word of God, you read it in such a carnal way that you don't understand it. We cannot comprehend things sometimes because we are not looking at it from the right perspective. Okay? We are only looking at it from one place. So, it is very important to know that when our minds is focused on the Spirit, it produces a different kind of fruit. And how do we get to that place? It's easy to say that you should walk in the Spirit, you should focus on the Spirit. How do we get to the place where we constantly are living in the Spirit? The Bible says, Romans 12, verse 2, it says that we should live in the renewing. We should not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but we should live in the renewing of our minds. And once we've renewed our minds, we will know what is the perfect and the pleasing will of God for our life. And how do we renew our mind? We renew our mind through the Word. Amen. The Bible says in Romans 10 and verse 17 that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing cometh by the Word of Christ. So how do we renew our minds? How do we get to the place where we receive and accept our new nature? It is by renewing our mind through the Word. Amen. It's by hearing the Word of God. Because that is how our trust is being made stronger and constantly being renewed in Christ, by hearing what He has done. Okay? It says hearing the words of Christ. Okay? Hearing about His finished works. Hearing about the message that He has given unto us. Titus 3, 4, and 5 says that, but when God, our Savior, revealed His kindness and love, He saved us. Not because of our righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. You see, this is so important to understand, that why God doesn't want us to operate in our old nature, in the nature of the flesh. Why He doesn't want us to follow the commandments of the law, okay? But why He wants us to be in the Spirit? Because the new life, the new birth that we have received, it is given to us by the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that constantly reminds you that you are a son of God. You are a child of God. If you have a voice in your head that is constantly telling you that you are not good enough, it is not the Holy Spirit. It's the voice of condemnation. It is the voice of the law telling you that you have not done enough to earn God's love, to earn God's love, mercy. But the Holy Spirit will always tell you who you are. He will always bring identity to the fore, and not what you still need to do. Condemnation, fear and condemnation always tries to kill you, always tries to destroy what you believe. So that's why when we try to follow the law, once we fail, there will be a voice telling us, you are not good enough.
So true.
But the Holy Spirit tells us that you are good enough.
Yes.
You are so good enough that Jesus died for you, and He has given you a new life. The Holy Spirit will always remind us of our new life in Christ. He will never refer or refer back to us to the law. He will never tell us, go back to the law to do this and that. But He will tell us, focus on your new life that is in Christ.
Amen.
I think it is Colossians 3 verse 3 that says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear. What is so awesome about that is that God has given you a new identity. So yes. Even when you go and stray away from your new identity, then you are straying away from who you really are. You are straying away from your true self. And our true self is only known in the spirit, never in the flesh. Paul tells us the only way to be dominated, the only way not to be dominated by the flesh is to walk in the spirit. Galatians 5:16 says that, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Okay? So why talk about the difference between our sinful flesh and the Holy Spirit? Because it's important. The reason why it is important, because like we read in the beginning, there is a constant battle. I believe that as you are sitting here right now, there is a battle.
Sure.
There is a battle to take this in, to take it to heart, and there is a battle that the flesh is telling you, do not pay any mind to what he is saying, because it's not the truth. There is a battle, there is a constant battle. And yes, like I said, the one that we focus on, that yes, will be the one that brings us peace, much fruitfulness and much peace as well.
Amen.
Okay? So, so that means that does not belong to him in the scripture, where it says in the Galatians, belong to him in the scripture, is referring anyone who that lives in the flesh is not themselves. I think that in Romans 8 verse 10, it says that the one that does not belong to, verse 9 says, that does not belong to him. That means that if you are not in the spirit, you do not belong to Christ. That's, it's not referring to that. But the phrase that says does not belong to him, it is referring to that when we live in the flesh, we are not ourselves. Okay? So that means it's like someone doing something out of character. So when we know your character, when we know the kind of person you are, and you do something different to what your character is, that means that you are not yourself. So when we are not living in the spirit, we are not ourselves. Because our true selves is revealed through the spirit.
Amen.
Only the Holy Spirit can reveal who we are. And we find our true nature. We find who we are in the spirit. Never in the flesh. Because no amount of good works will reveal your true identity. It will just tell you to climb more and more and more. It will never ever be enough.
Yeah.
But in the spirit, when you know who you are, then you know that you are always enough.
Yes.
1 Corinthians 6 verse 17 says that, but anyone who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So when we received Jesus, we were joined to him. So that means that once we were joined to him, we are one spirit. So when people see Jesus, they see us. And when people look for Jesus, they should look at us. Okay? So because we are joined to him, never ever to be separated. So no matter what you are going through, even if you are struggling with your identity at this moment, know that you are joined to the Lord and you are one with him. And focus on being one with him. And once we align our focus on being one with him, we will come back to ourselves. Just like the prodigal son said, that the Bible says that he came to himself. Because what he had done was something out of his character. So I hope this morning that we all have this coming to ourselves moment. Okay? I think when people do yoga and all that kind of stuff, then they use the phrase that you should pull yourself to yourself. It's like you are outside of yourself, now pull that back into yourself. But the good thing with us is that even when we have identity problems, Jesus is still in us. So we don't pull ourselves to ourselves, we just awaken to who we are. We don't change our behavior, we change our mind. And when we change our mind, our behavior follows. And then we come back into who we are, the character. Okay, so we have the express image of Christ.
Amen.
The Greek word for that express image is character. Character. Okay, so we have the character of Christ in us. This is good news, people.
Amen.
This is awesome news. Okay, I'm about to land. Okay, so we are out of character when we try to focus on ourselves in our own flesh. Our focus determines our fruitfulness. Okay? Galatians 6 verse 8 says, "For he who sows in the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." I think that is as plain and simple as we can go. If you try to live pleasing the flesh, then you will reap corruption because there is no true thing in the flesh.
Amen.
But when we try to sow to the Spirit, and how do we sow to the Spirit? We sow to the Spirit by focusing on Jesus. By focusing on what He has done. By focusing on the finished works. And not focusing on ourselves. What we still need to do. What we still need to get. But we focus on what has been done already. Romans 8 verse 14 says that Paul reveals a few things about the difference between living under the bondage of religion, because living in the flesh can also be living under religion. Okay, the flesh is, for me, I think it has two meanings. It can be a person that doesn't know Jesus at all, and then it can be a person that knows Jesus, but he's still living under the bondage of the law. He's still trying to please God, still trying to get his life right before he gets this and that. Okay? We don't get our lives right and then come to Jesus. We come to Jesus and he sets our lives right. Jesus sets us right. We don't set ourselves right. Okay? So if you are trying to stop doing what you are doing, then stop trying to do what you're trying to undo. Just focus on Jesus. Or if you don't know him and you are trying to stop doing the stuff that you don't want to do, stop that. Come to Jesus.
Come on.
Receive Jesus. And from there, he will help you. He will be with you because he will be in you. You will be one with him. And being one with him is the greatest benefit that we can have. Because if you want to overcome addiction, it is not through yourself. It is through focusing on the goodness of God and the goodness of Jesus. Religion walks behind you to punish you for your mistakes. Religion literally walks behind you. It is like a master and a slave situation. He walks behind you with a whip. If you haven't done right, he whips you. He punishes you. That is what condemnation does. And the religion is the number one tool religion uses to get us to bow to its demands is fear. Religion is a fear-driven. And religion is, I want to say, go as far to say that religion is a cancer that steals the life that God wants to give you out of you. Religion demands, and when we don't meet that demands, it punishes us. It tells us that we are never ever good enough. We will never amount to it. Sons are led by the love of their father. See the difference?
Yeah.
When you come to realize that you are a son of God, because that is who you are. The Bible says, anyone that has taken on Christ, unto those he has given the right to be called children of God. So we are sons of God. We are no longer orphans. We have been bought by the spirit of adoption, whereby we call Abba. Abba, Father. And our God, our Father, is a loving, a kind, a tender. He is a good Father that helps us. Sons are led by the love of their Father, not by the bondage of religion. Okay?
Yeah.
Sons are led. That means that you have a choice if you want to be led. Religion makes demands.
Yes.
You should. You will do this. You will do that. Religion tells you you're not good enough.
Yes.
You will never be accepted. Sons are fully accepted by the Father. Sons always have the identity of being accepted. Ephesians, and I will end up with this. Ephesians 1 verse 5 to 6. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. That word beloved is so powerful because it is the same word that God uses to describe Jesus.
Yeah.
When he was baptized, the Bible says that in the book of Matthew, where he says that, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. So when we see that word beloved, we should think about the words that God spoke over Jesus. And because now you are a son of God, that includes the ladies. I'm not saying because you are a son, you are not, you should be a man. There's no gender related to that. Because you are a son of God, this is the words that God is speaking over you. I am well pleased. So God says that you are my beloved son, and in you I am well pleased. When are we most satisfied with God? When he is most pleased with us. And he is pleased with you. God is very pleased with you. And because he calls you beloved, God sees you as one with his son, Jesus Christ. And he sees you as his son. The Bible even says in the book of Hebrews 2, I think in verse 11, that Jesus Christ was not ashamed to call us his brethren. That is so awesome. The one that died for us is not ashamed to call us his brothers and his sisters. So you are a son. And I think that this morning it is an awesome opportunity for us just to align our focus again. If you've been struggling with sin, if you've been struggling to get over certain things, stop struggling. Start living. Because the struggle will always be in your own works. But when we start living, it is when we are living from, when we start to focus on the Spirit. And when we focus on the Spirit, we are able to live life more free. Galatians 5 verse 1 says that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free.
Amen.
And nothing else. So we should be free to live, we should be free to serve, and we should be free. We should be free to tell people about him. Okay? So this morning, my message is simple. Our focus determines our fruitfulness. And if you are struggling with anything and you are trying to get over it yourself, stop. Get over yourself, definitely. And then stop. Because when we struggle with certain things to fix it, then it means it is about us. It's about me getting stuff done. Because I want people to see that I have sorted it out.
Stop.
Get over yourself.
Yes.
Stop struggling.
Thank you, Jesus.
Focus on Jesus. Focus on the Spirit. Focus on what he has done.
You can find more of our free teachings on our website, www.gracelife.ca. And if you're ever in the Solaris Pass area, we invite you to join us for one of our gatherings. Our aim is to help you discover Jesus, find family, and experience life. To contact us or to find out where and when we meet, visit our website, www.gracelife.ca.